over the past couple of weeks, actually the past few weeks, we've been considering together on Sunday the idea of glory, actually going from shame to glory. And a couple of weeks ago, mentioned Tim all the way in the back row there against the wall. Tim Vang shared with us a personal aspect of his life in the context of how God can bring us from things of shame to places of honoring him. And if you were here for that Sunday a few weeks ago, it was a real blessing as Tim shared. And so he shared with us a personal aspect of his life in the context of how God can bring us from things of shame to places of honoring him, places of glory in the context of our walk with him. And because of Jesus' death on the cross, Tim reminded us, for the forgiveness of sin, we can go from lives and situations of living in what we might identify as shame to a place of glory, to what I would remind you of is living in the fullness of God, ways in which he actually intended for us to live. Last week, we talked about reflecting God's glory. If you were here, we talked about how God has created the moon to reflect sunlight into the darkness, and so he created us to reflect his image. Likewise, he created us to reflect his glory as people created in his image into a dark world. It's part of our call as Christ followers, as Christians. But today, I want to touch on an aspect of our sharing as Christ followers, as believers, our sharing in God's ultimate glory. Experiencing that in the context and the place of heaven, the glory of heaven. And God, as we just talk about this for a few minutes this morning, I just pray you do whatever you want to do in our hearts. Take your word, the words we'll look at from Scripture, Lord, and just in our hearts and minds work them how you want to do. Lord, we don't actually preach about heaven itself that very often or even talk about it, but this morning I just pray you'd stir our hearts towards that as we do that. Thanks, God. Amen. I think, I have not surveyed, so I have no tangible evidence here, but I think that if asked, most people would say they want to go to heaven when they die. Even if you ask people from other faith contexts, other religions, if you will, they would say that they want to either go to the good place, whatever that is to them, or have a good thing happen to them after they died. Because humankind is made in God's image, that's what he tells us, there's built within us a desire toward that, whether we know what to call it or not. And heaven is where true Christ followers, true believers, go after they die. Heaven is where we go after we die as we follow Jesus, according to his word. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:20 that for believers, for Christians, for Christ followers, however you want to identify that, our citizenship is in heaven. That's what he says. Our citizenship is in heaven. So we're not citizens of earth trying to get to heaven, but citizens of heaven making our way through this world. I guess to my, and I'll suggest yours too, to our earthbound minds, heaven is kind of a bit of an abstract concept. It's a realm that's really unknown to us. I mean, we accept by faith the reality of heaven, of this spiritual realm, but it's difficult to imagine what heaven must be like. And really, the glory of heaven, from what I understand from Scripture, which we can conceive. In fact, someone said that to try to explain the world to an unborn baby, can I just get one volunteer? Somebody? Anybody? Bio, okay. Boy. See, everybody hesitates, right? And bio jumps right up. There's a bit of a theme going on here this morning. I think there's enough donuts out there for like every one of us, so don't go without having a donut or two this morning. But by the way, I've got this box of donuts here. Really kind of, some would say beautiful, some would say gross. But what I'm doing this morning in talking about heaven in the message is sort of like, it's beautiful and it looks yummy and all this kind of stuff. And what I'm, I think there's a little thing I can just get a little, there you go. There's a little seed off the one of those donuts. And I just wanted to let you have that this morning and be blessed, okay? Amen. All right. Thank you. Hey, Bio, just take this whole box, will you? Actually, you go ahead, but watch it. Yeah, well, no, it's not heaven, and we'll talk about that. But in trying to talk about heaven, it's like, you know, this whole beautiful thing, and we get like just a little seed, a little dot of that. The people behind you would like to have a donut, so you can share with them. Now, the Bible does give us some hints at what heaven is like. Wonderfully, we do know of some of the things that won't be in heaven. We read in the Bible that there will be no death. We read that there will be no pain. Amen. There will be no sin, no tears, no sorrow, just to mention a few things. That we can read in Scripture. We know that. Guy, I don't know if you heard of this name, but Galileo, and not just in a song, but Galileo was an Italian, thank you, astronomer, physicist, and engineer, sometimes called the father of modern physics, the father of modern science, and he wrote this. He said, "The intention of the Holy Spirit is not to teach us how heaven goes, but how one goes to heaven." And one of the things the Bible gives us a clue about is that heaven is a real place. The Apostle Paul, who we read of in the New Testament, was given a vision of heaven. But he couldn't find the words to describe it because human language has limitations. All Paul could say was that he experienced things so incredible that they couldn't be told. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 12:4, he says, "I was caught up in this vision to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell." If you read much about what the Apostle Paul wrote, he's not a pie-in-the-sky guy, right? He doesn't write fluffy stuff. "Oh, I was caught up, and, you know, I heard these amazing..." I mean, he talks about this, and you can believe him. If you read the other things he's written, a majority of the New Testament, "I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. I didn't know how to say it. Things no human is allowed to tell as well." Allowed as in unable. Heaven's also been called a prepared place for prepared people. Jesus, in giving comfort to his disciples, said in John 1-3, he said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." He was about to leave them. They were upset. He said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Scripture says that he's going to prepare a place for us in his Father's house. Again, we only have certain images we can bring up in our minds. He's going to prepare a place for us in his Father's house, and only those who have embraced Jesus would be happy being with him for eternity after they die. Heaven is a real place. It's not just a state of mind or a state of being. As to the question of where heaven is, well, interestingly, in Scripture, we often see Jesus looking up toward heaven. That's where he looks up toward heaven. Like in the feeding of the 5,000, Matthew chapter 6, it says, "And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves." Again, we read in John 3:13, it says this, "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." And then there's one more indication as well in Acts chapter 1. It says, after he said this, it was about Jesus' ascension. Ascension means ascending. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid it from hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." And so heaven, Scripture indicates, is a real place. Now, for folks who haven't come to that place of relationship with God, for people who haven't yet been, I'll say, changed by God, heaven may not seem too inviting or even attractive. Eugene Peterson wrote, "If we don't want God, or we don't want him very near, we can hardly be expected to be very interested in heaven." But for those whose trust is in God, the hope of heaven gives confidence beyond this world. Another Bible scholar, Harry Blamires, I'm going to pronounce it that way, wrote, "The whole character of heaven is essentially determined by the fact that it's God's home." You see, the believer's joy is God's presence. There's nothing here on this earth or within the scope of human experience that can be compared or imagined. God's presence will be so the focus of our attention that I'm not sure anything else will be noticed or matter. I mean, what could be more important or significant or awesome or indescribable or all of that or glorious than God? I mean, why would it? We're talking about God. And so the question might be this morning, how do you get there? How do you get to this place? You know, how do I go? Well, the first thing we do in that is to acknowledge and admit something. It's that we've all sinned. Nobody likes to say that. The first thing to acknowledge and to admit is that we've all sinned. How do we get to heaven? We admit and we acknowledge. Romans 3:23 says, this is God's word, not making this up. It says, "For everyone has sinned." We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We've all done things that fall short of what God intended for us, of how he intended us to live. That's a fact. We read a little farther in Romans in chapter 6, verse 23, it tells us what happens after we die because of sin. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." You know, all know what wages are. It's the payment, what we receive when we die. It says the wages of sin is death. That's not only a physical death, but a spiritual death, a separation from God. The consequence for that sin is death, not just physical, but eternal death. The Bible talks about being separated from God forever. The good news, though, is the second part of that verse. Romans 6:23 says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And here's how that happened. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Another verse you might know is one called John 3:16. You've probably heard that before. "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." That's what he did. That's what he did. Here's what I do. Here's what we do. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." We confess our sins. We invite Jesus into our lives. Because here's the thing, and this is a bit of the uncomfortable part sometimes. It's the only way. It's the only way. Again, not my words, but Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." That's how we get to know the promise of the glory of heaven is ours. It's always through Jesus. There's nothing, nothing, nothing that any of us can do to earn heaven, to be in that place of God's glory, to know the glory of heaven. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For it is by grace that we have been saved, that you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God." And here's the thing, not by works, so that no one can boast. The promise of heaven is always because of God's amazing grace. The promise of heaven is always because of Jesus' amazing love. And if you're by any chance here this morning and you've never confessed your sin to him and you've never invited Jesus into your heart, into your life, could I on this beautiful holiday weekend encourage you to do that before you go today? And we'd love to talk to you more about it at some point soon. You've probably got things you want to go and do this afternoon and today. It's beautiful, but we'd love to talk to you more about it at some point when you'd like to. I mean, you can do that today by genuinely praying this following prayer just quietly to God. If you're not sure if you ever invited Jesus into your life, you don't remember, you're not sure, let me encourage you to pray this prayer too. And if you have invited him into your life, I'm not by any means perfect. I didn't have to tell you that for you to know that. None of us are. But if you have invited him into your life, and maybe you've fallen away from that relationship, let me encourage you today to just pray on your own and ask him to forgive you if you need to, and to restore you back to a good place with him, to a good walk with him. It's worth it. It's worth it to continue to grow and to learn what it is to live in the fullness of God. And so this morning, as this prayer is up on the screen, I just want to take a moment of silence. And if you need to pray this, you want to pray this, then I'm just going to invite you to do that quietly where you're sitting as we just take a moment of silence here. Let's do that. This morning, I feel very inadequate before you in talking about the glory of your dwelling place. You are, blow our minds with us wherever we go, but Father, your dwelling place is also in heaven, a place where you want us to be with you. And this morning, as we've just touched on it, it's like that sprinkle off the top of a donut. It's so little. It's just a hint, maybe an encouragement for us to search your word, maybe to see what it says about heaven, and to remind ourselves of how we can get there. It's not by being good. It's not by following rules. It's by grace that we are saved. Not of ourselves, so that we can't boast about it. But God, it's because of you. Jesus, I don't get it all, but you died, your word says, so that my sin could be forgiven, so that I could have a relationship with you, so that I could spend eternity with you. Your word talks about there's another place too, the Father, and it's called hell. And God, that's for another day to talk about. But God, I don't want to be there. I want to be with you in your presence in indescribable glory. And I pray, Father, that you would cause us to walk with you. Forgive us where we need to be forgiven. Help us to come to you with that. Father, thanks that you love us. Even though we fall down and stumble 100 times, for some reason you still love us. I think it's because we're made in your image. We like you. You love us. Thank you that you forgive us and we can continue to come to you. Thanks for that. Help us, we pray, in all of these things. Draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as Steve's playing a little bit here, I just wanted to say I'd love to hear what God's doing in your life, in your heart, and encourage you in how to continue to grow and to walk with Jesus. I mean, we could talk in person, or you could write something in an email to theserieschallenge.com. Theserieschallenge.com is a private email that just Steve and I have the passwords for. We don't share those emails with anybody. And if you just want to send us a note and just say, hey, God's awesome, he's really been working in my life, that'd be great to hear. We'd love to buy you a coffee and sit and chat further about it. But as we continue in our journey, no matter who we are, our walk with God, knowing how his word, the Bible, applies to our lives is important. And we keep talking about that. I think we did a series just not too long ago on reading God's word and the importance it is in our lives, being familiar with it, knowing it. It's important in our journey of living in the fullness of God, which is our overall theme this year. And so starting next Sunday, we're going to begin a summer series doing just that. And we'll be looking at something from way back here in the Bible. I mentioned it before. It's the Ten Commandments. And asking the question, are these just relics of the past? Or are they relevant to our lives today? If they're part of God's word to us, then we need to be able to answer that question. Because if they're just relics, then let's just leave them in the past. But if they're relevant, then we need to act on it accordingly. I'm looking forward to sharing that together next week.